Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It is such a beautiful evening. It's I'm actually broadcasting from New Jersey. I'm at my mother's house, actually, my 89-year-old mother, and I wanted to talk about some things today relating to elderly people and people who might be a little bit weaker energy, and your dogs. Now, my mom, she's the best. She really is just the best mom you could ever have, and I'm so grateful to have her for 89 years, and I hope I have her at least another, 50 maybe would be nice. What's kind of interesting, though, is how sometimes elderly people or younger kids or people with disabilities, sometimes the dogs can pick up on that. And I had a really interesting phone call from a lovely woman who is the mother of a child who has seizures. Now, we do seizure dogs and blood sugar dogs, like diabetic dogs. And a lot of the training that we do, which, you know, perhaps is a little bit of overkill, but the reason we do it is that sometimes when people have a disability or somebody has a condition, it doesn't always stay that way. So you do have sometimes people who are trying to make money and, you know, charge you like $5,000 and say, oh yeah, we're a nonprofit, and they're charging you $5,000 and they're going and get any dog out of the shelter and they keep it for a couple weeks and they slap a vest on it and they say, hey, it's a service dog. Well, you know, any dog, even the worst dog in the world, is still going to be usually a very nice calming influence on somebody who's got weaker energy. But the problem arises when that dog is not adequately or properly trained, or maybe just isn't capable of that. And somebody has that dog, whether you know, somebody gives it to you and claims that it's a service dog, or it's a PTSD dog, or it's just a companion dog, or you just get a dog out of a shelter or a rescue, or even if you get a puppy, even from the best breeder in the world. Now, the problem is that any dog, any good dog, is going to feel that when your energy, the owner's energy, the people around that dog, when that person's energy gets weaker, the dog is going to tend to take over. Now, it depends on the type of dog, the age of the dog, the past experience of the dog. And there are certainly a lot of different aspects. But one of the things that's super important is to understand that if you're not in charge of your dog and if you don't set down clear rules, nice rules, kind rules, guidelines, like you are mentoring someone, not like you're a dictator, not like you're dominating the dog or you have passive aggressive and you kick the dog when nobody's looking. And I've seen that in people in my past and kick them to the curb because you're not going to touch a dog or hurt a dog when you're around me. Well, one of the things is to understand that even if you have, let's say, an elderly parent, an elderly aunt, uncle, grandparent, whatever, who is living in the house, and if the dog is kind of guarding that person or sometimes even a herding breed, I'm not a big fan of herding breeds for service dogs, and there's a couple people who think that they're wonderful, that's great, but dogs are going to tend to herd or nip at a weaker energy. So where does that leave us? Well, you have to make sure that, of course, the first thing and the most important thing is that you find the right type of dog for that situation. So let's say you get a hound mix. Well, that hound is going to tend to be either very visual or focused on scent and smell. So if you have an elderly parent, not my mom, but you know, if you have an elderly person who's, you know, and not to be too crude, but, you know, got depends on or, you know, isn't always very careful of how they clean themselves up or wash their hands, you can have a dog potentially poking at or nipping at or pushing over an elderly person. Same thing with a baby. You know, you think about it, you can have a baby who's got a dirty diaper, and the dog keeps poking the child and maybe even nips at him to kind of, you know, clean him up or to try to help. But we perceive that as being a threat or being dominant or being, you know, something that is something we don't want. So you really have to think like a dog. And I think now it's almost a month, I think it's about 3.5 weeks, since my new book, Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101, since my book came out. And I'm already getting some pretty funny responses to it that I really didn't anticipate. Well, you can go on Amazon, Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101 is, you know, basically a great book that's going to talk about everything from rescue and shelter dogs all the way up to choosing the right dog for your family, all the way getting deep into the genetics of these designer disasters. And I don't mean to harp on that. I don't mean to seem attacking of people who breed mixed breed dogs, but I do, because you don't do it right if you're looking at something only for money. It's like if you have a job and your only focus is money, you know, you're going to be the one who's embezzling money. You're going to be the one who's, you know, putting money into your pocket from the drawer, and you're going to be the one who's going to wind up in trouble because you're doing things for the wrong reason. If you don't love what you do and you're doing it because you're trying to make money, and nothing wrong with making money, but that can't be your sole purpose. And if it is, those are the people who have problems. So when people are breeding these mixed breed dogs, it's not that I have anything against mixed breed dogs. I've got a ton of rescue dogs, and my Lexi is probably a Heinz 57 or a Heinz 173 of different kinds of breeds in her. And she's the best dog in the world. I have my Charlie, who's a plot hound mix. I have, I've got a golden lab mix. I've got beagle mixes, basset mixes, bloodhound mixes, lab mixes, golden mixes, Yorkie mixes, Yorkies from, you know, all different kinds of dogs, Maltese mixes, Cavalier King Charles, you know. So I'm not against mixed breeds, and I'm not against any other breed other than my Rhodesian Ridgebacks, although I am a little bit biased towards them. That's why I have so many, because I'm just in love with the breed, and they're so easy to train and work with and so smart, and they just do so many things naturally. But every dog is not adequate or intelligent enough or motivated enough or just the right dog to be a service dog or sometimes to be with a particular family. Now, if you really, really want to get the right dog, you buy the book, and it's only $10. It's actually less than $10 on Amazon, and the paper version will be out shortly. But I had so many people just nagging me over the summer because the book was written quite a while ago, but some of the veterinary information in there took a little while for my wonderful veterinarian who was writing the book to put in there. So some of it is in there and some of it is not in there, and we'll bring it out on a second printing, second edition. But the book has everything you could possibly want to know, including things about the energy of a, you know, weaker energy of a younger child or a person with special needs or an elderly person. It's really interesting to see how the dogs react to different types of energy. So, for instance, if you are thinking of getting a dog, get the book. And actually, 11th Hour Rescue, which is one of the best, it's my favorite rescue in the world that I've ever been to. We've got some of the other wonderful rescues and a new Humane Society that just, I'm their behaviorist now, too. They're up in Orange County, New York. And people are really starting to take notice of what I've been doing for 35 years. Not that I want anybody to be impressed with what I do, because I do what I do because it's just what I do. But people are starting to learn to think differently, to not look at it as, here's a cookie and the dog sits, because they're starting to realize that behavior is in the brain. That's what I keep beating into people's brains. Behavior is in the brain, not in the body. So if you have a dog who's trained to do an operant conditioning move, but the dog isn't thinking the right thing when it's doing that, you're not fixing the problem. We are going to talk about this more, so stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Uh-huh. As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt, who's right on the couch here with me. So we're talking about how your energy can affect your dog's behavior and how people in your home and people that the dog meets can also have an effect on the dog because their energy is different. So this is one of the really important things. And I'm not a big proponent of, you know, obedience and obedience and obedience just to try to make the dog well-behaved. But when you have a good dog, you can do obedience, and it's fun because Wyatt's brother, and I've mentioned this before, Rambo's John Dillinger with about a gazillion titles behind him, and he's the number one Ridgeback in obedience, and I believe he's almost number one dog in a number of the different modalities that he is doing. Really incredible. So it's not that I don't like obedience. It's just that I'm a behaviorist. And I had somebody at the shelter up where I was just working with. It was a lovely lady, and her name is Susan. And then there's another lady, Cheryl, and they'll know because I'm sure they're listening and going, oh, my gosh, Janice is mentioning me on her show. Well, I want to commend them because they understood what I was telling them about. They understood that behavior is very different than obedience. And their former, quote-unquote, trainer/behaviorist, when somebody says they're a trainer and behaviorist, they're not. They're a trainer because the reason most people say they're behaviorists is because you can charge more money if you're a behaviorist and you can, you know, get more, like, again, why do people do what they do, you know? So if they can get more money because they're behaviorists, then they call them, oh, I'm a trainer and a behaviorist. No, you're one or the other. Because if you're training, you're using food, cookies, or crazy things like shock collars and prong collars and e-collars and choker chains and squirting the dog in the face and penny cans and all those horrible things like that. You're either training the dog or you're rehabilitating the dog. They are completely different. You would go, if you had a broken leg, you'd go to a doctor, right? An orthopedist. If you had a brain tumor, you'd go to a brain surgeon. If you had a heart problem, you'd go to a pulmonologist or cardiologist, depending on what the issue was. So you can have people who are working in the dog world but who are doing different things because they're doing many different things. They're doing many different types of activities. They're trying it as best they can to fix issues. But if you have a problem with your brain, let's say you come home and you find your house has been burglarized and all your things have been destroyed, stolen, just mutilated, and that there's dirt and somebody dumped dirt and waste and sewage all over your photos that were your cherished pictures of your parents or grandparents or kids when they were little. And just imagine for a minute how angry and how violated you would feel that, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody did this. Well, Now think about that, and even if your best friend came in and said, hey, sit down, relax, calm down, here's a cookie. Think about it for a minute. Would you sit down? Probably not. Would you relax? Oh, no. Would you calm down? Of course not, because your body wasn't the problem. It was your brain. Your brain is where everything is going on. This is what happens with people when they're thinking like a human instead of thinking like a dog. Dogs think like dogs think because they're dogs. Men think like men think because they're men. The defective Y chromosome is different than our perfect X chromosome. And guys, I'm just kidding. Not really, but I'm kidding. So you have to understand that when you're doing anything with a dog or when you're doing anything with a child, when you're doing anything with anybody, you have to make sure that you think like they do. If you don't think like that person or those people think, then you're not going to truly understand. And sometimes you can't think like those people do because, unfortunately, when you're trying to think like they do, you're still a human thinking like a dog. But if you start changing the way you think so that you're not telling a dog to sit, well, what did you really, really want the dog to do? Did you want him to sit? Did you really need the dog to sit there? Okay, I'm going to have, after Brandy has her puppies, I'm going to be back up over 20 dogs in my house again. It's a lot of dogs. There are 12 or 13 there now, and she's going to have 6 or 8 of them, so we'll be up over 20 again. Now, just imagine for me, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to the front door to, like I did this morning, and I'm going to have a couple of the dogs come with me. So, now just imagine what it would look like for me at my front door. I go to open the door. Before I get to the door, I turn, and I have 20 cookies in my hand, and I tell each dog to sit. And I say, Wyatt, sit. Whisper, sit. Fallon, sit. Brandy, sit. Bella, sit. Puppy, sit. Siri, sit. Fallon, sit. I'm going to double up on dogs. Lexi, sit. Trooper, sit. Romeo, sit. Savannah, sit. Kayla, sit. I'm trying to think who else I've got. Puppies 1 through 6, sit. And I give them each a cookie. Well, oops, somebody dropped the cookie, so she didn't get it. So I run back, and I go get more cookies. And I start over again because I got 20 dogs. So Wyatt, sit. Whisper, sit. Brandy, sit. Fallon, sit. Puppy, sit. Lexi, sit. Kayla, sit. Layla, sit. Siri, sit. Oh, my God. Trooper, sit. Romeo, sit. Savannah, sit. Do you see what I'm talking about? The person at the front door, or if I were leaving, I mean, it'd be like 2 hours later, and finally, I would have all the dogs finally sitting at the same time, and then I wouldn't even have to go because I'd be late for my appointment. My appointment would have expired hours before. So you have to think like a dog. Now, what do we really want at the front door? Do we want Wyatt to sit, Whisper to sit, Fallon to sit, Brandy to sit, Romeo to sit, Savannah to sit, Puppy to sit, Bella to sit, Siri to sit, Trooper to sit? Do you see what I'm getting at? Wouldn't it just be easier if they didn't come to the front door because they knew that the only way they were going to come to the front door is that they were invited to the front door? So when I come out, and like this morning, and I wasn't sure who I was going to take, and I thought, who am I going to take with me? Well, I'm going to my mom's house, and she loves Wyatt. So Wyatt only. And the door is wide open. Wyatt goes out, waits for me right at the top of the stairs, doesn't go down to the car yet because I haven't instructed him to do that yet. And then I looked, and I said, Lexi only. And Lexi, only Lexi came out. Now, there were about 5 or 6 standing kind of within 10 or 15 feet of the front door, but most of them are just lying on the couch. Because they know that if I want them to come with me, I'm going to invite them. So instead of having to move through 18 other dogs and be holding 18 collars so that dogs don't run out all over the neighborhood, like some of you guys would do, even with one dog, my door is wide open. Wyatt comes out. Lexi comes out. I close my door. They don't move. So I start walking. They're behind me. I go to the car, I open the car door, I tell them okay, and they jump up into the car. I close the car door or the back of my hatch on my Lexus, and I go. So literally instead of a fire drill of just crazy proportions. All I have to do is call the two that I want. They come. Nobody else comes. And I switch them out. So one day I might have, like last week, I took Romeo, Savannah, and Lexi. So instead of it being Wyatt only, Lexi only, it was Romeo only, Savannah only, Lexi only. And the other whole group of them, including Wyatt, who normally goes with me, just looked like, oh, okay, I guess it's not, I'm not coming today. So it's so much easier to do this because I don't even know how people can have more than one or two dogs when you don't have well-behaved dogs because it just would consume your life. Well, I'm going to teach you in the next three segments today how you can make your life easier by setting some rules. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Amazing taste is in my bowl with super gravy now. Oh, once I thought dinner was dull, but now I'm howling wild.
Ow!
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I'm just having too much fun. I love teaching you guys, and I love my amazing team at United Canine Professionals. I'll tell you something. I have been doing this for so long, and the coolest thing, I think, is when we hit, now we're over 160 people, about I think almost 170 right now, in United Canine Professionals. That's a lot of people. We do teach people, we do have classes, and we do train people to do what we do. I teach you my techniques that have taken a long time and a lot of dog bites to perfect, and I've been doing this for my whole life. I really have, because, you know, I was studying canine behavior and animal behavior at Columbia University when I was 17, when I started at Columbia. And, you know, in my new book, Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101, what I've been doing is I've been including some of the things that I learned and just watching how, you know, and I hate to say how many years ago it was when I was 17, but it was a few years ago, and the same exact things that are behavioral studies back then are the same ones people are citing now. The problem is, you know, we've learned a lot more. We've learned, I've had cancer twice already. You know, cancer's treated the kind of cancer I had. Lymphoma, man, when I had it, when I was 21, boy, it was like scorched earth and pray you live, and it was a tough thing. Years of chemo and radiation and major surgeries over and over again, but I'm here. But you know, if I had the same illness now, I would have been treated much differently. I would have probably only needed one surgery instead of four. And, you know, things evolve and things change. Now, dogs don't change that much, but the studies you would think would change. So if you guys, anybody out there, and you sitting in your living room or sitting at your computer or listening on a podcast while you're jogging, please be careful of that pothole. Don't step in it. If you are actually out there and you say, you know what, Janice, I love your passion. I love how you love your job. I love how you love training service dogs, hundreds and hundreds, actually well over 1,000 service dogs, cancer detection dogs, disease detection dogs, facility dogs, which we call institutional service dogs, that we use in many different applications. You guys would be blown away if you knew all the things we do, but some of it is kind of top secret, only for company employees. But the coolest thing is if you love dogs and you say, wow, you know, Janice, the stuff you're saying, it makes sense. It's just logical. It's how dogs think. How can I do that? How can I have a career doing what I love and being as passionate about it as you are? Well, you can get onto our website, United, the letter K, the number 9, United K9 Professionals with an S, .com. You can go to the Join Our Team section there. We've had actually quite a few of our listeners who have gone to the, you know, computer and have looked at it and said, wow, I want to do this. We have right now a young lady named DJ who's actually getting married today. Congratulations. Big shout out, DJ. So happy for you and hope you enjoy your honeymoon. So, yes, you're free from homework of class this week. But, you know, we have some wonderful people who listen and they say, you know, this is something that I want to do, something I need to do. And if I can have a career doing what I love, oh, man, I want to do that. So you can join our team. And we do also train private service dogs, disease detection, like I said, and a whole bunch of other kind of dogs. And we're tied in, obviously, with our sister company, Merlin's Kids, which is our 501c3. So if you say, you know, hey, my child might need a service dog, or I know somebody who might need one, yeah, it costs a lot of money, and, you know, we don't get as many donations as we really need for the volume of dogs that we are trying to train. But I just bought a beautiful facility in Missouri. It's a 6,000-square-foot indoor training facility. One room is 3,600 square feet, and it's an amazing, beautiful, beautiful room, beautiful place, brand new, 2 years old, brand new kennels, all fenced, just absolutely amazing. And one of the important things about that is it's allowing us to train more humans and train more dogs. So, again, if you think about things for a minute and you say, wow, that's pretty cool, I'd like to do that, well, then go to Merlin's Kids, MerlinsKids.org, MerlinsKids.org, or 855, hi, Wyatt, and I'm actually staring right now because at my parents' house, I'm staring at a postcard of my beautiful Merlin, and maybe we'll post that up on the From Shelter Dog to Service Dog and For the Love of Dog radio show programs web pages. You should see what a magnificent animal this my beautiful Merlin was. He was the most gorgeous white Lipizzan stallion that you would ever see in your life. He didn't even look real. And looking at the pictures of him, I realized how devastating it was that I lost him. But he's the one who brought me all the complete devastation that I had to overcome, and that's why I became so dedicated to having other things going on and making sure that we could fix the problems in the world using animals. And I've been using horses since I was 17, my first horse, Amber, who I'm also looking at, who is a beautiful chestnut quarter horse with four white, high white socks. And animals do have that amazing ability to be able to bring peace to us and bring comfort to us. So if you say, you know, hey, I'd love to not only learn how to rehabilitate dogs with behavioral issues, but I'd also like to learn how to train dogs for different purposes, different functions, and be able to change dogs that were in shelters and rescues and rehabilitate them and then train them to become service dogs or the best companion dog in the world. So, again, what are we going to do? We're going to teach you, and I'm going to teach you, my techniques of 35-plus years, plus all the stuff I did as a kid, And I remember my charcoal, who I'm also looking at a picture of. I'm looking at a picture of my charcoal, who I had when I was probably about 9. I had him trained, a Scottish Terrier, had him trained to crawl up a ladder, drop a cookie that he was going to get later into this big contraption that had paper plates and tubes and chutes and everything else, kind of like Mousetrap, except a real live one. Big, was like 5 feet tall. And he would go to the top of the ladder, drop the cookie in, and it would go around this and over this and knock this over and go through. And it was this whole big thing that was elevated. And by the time it got to the bottom and fell into this and fell down that, it would come to the bottom. He would look at me, and I'd say, okay, and he would take the cookie. But he was the one who actually put the cookie up there, so it was kind of cute. Well, you can do those kind of fun things when you have a dog who's really well-balanced, who's well-behaved, well-mannered, and is a joy to be around. But when you have a dog who has a behavioral issue, let's say you have a dog who's aggressive or grumbly, and then the thing is also, when does the growl or the posturing, body blocking, things like that, when does that become something you won't tolerate? Because that goes into the beginning of the show of what dogs think and how to change the dog so you're able to change the way the energy is seen by the dog and by the elderly or weaker person. So, think like a dog and imagine for a moment that you've got a beautiful dog and the puppy, let's say 6 months old, and all of a sudden he gives a little growl at your child, and your child's messing with him and taking his bone, but he growls at your child, and you say, oh, don't keep doing that to the dog, you're irritating him. Think over the break. Is that okay? Is it okay for the dog to tell the kid, you know, listen, kid, you're in my face, get away from me? So think about that, and I will be right back for the next segment. Hold on.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, all right, you had a minute to think about that, folks. When is it okay for the dog to correct the child and to growl at the child? Because obviously it's not okay for the child to be pulling the dog's tail or taking the dog's food, right? Yes, it's absolutely fine for that child. Now, do we want to teach a child not to be abusive to animals? Oh, of course we do. But no dog, not a dog in this world, or a horse in this world, or an animal in this world, or a stranger or pedophile or knucklehead or nut is going to tell my child what he can do and can't do. Because if you allow the dog to growl at a human, you're setting him up on a very slippery slope to failure. It is not okay for a dog to growl at a child. Ever. It is not okay for a dog to growl at a human. Ever. When is it okay for a dog to growl at another dog? When you have a dog like Wyatt or Wispa or Fallon or all of my guys, and not every one of my dogs is allowed to correct other dogs. But my Wyatt is allowed to correct everybody. Wispa is allowed to correct everyone but Wyatt. Fallon is allowed to correct everyone but Wyatt and Wispa. And then below that, nobody's allowed to talk. Lexi's allowed to give a correction because she's just a little munchkin, and if somebody steps on her, it could hurt. But there's a definite hierarchy, and Wyatt is at the top, then Wispa, then Fallon, then Lexi, and then every other dog in the house, regardless of age or size. Now, how do I set that up? Who's the top? Wyatt's the top. Uh-uh. Janice is the top. I'm the top. So I'm the first one, right? I'm the first one. And then the Wyatt and Wispa and Fallon and Lexi. So you have to be the first one in your house, in your rank, in your hierarchy. You have to do that, because if you're not doing it, then the dog is going to do it. Now, in our class at United Canine Professionals, one of our people who actually is an obedience trainer, and she's a lovely woman named Kathy, had asked a question about how do you know which dog is the leader? And she's lovely, and she's very smart, and very inquisitive. And, the answer was whoever you want to be the leader. It's not a matter of which dog is the leader. It's a matter of which dog you choose, if any, to be the leader. Now, think about it for a minute. The dogs are not allowed to choose who's in charge. The human, let's say you're a mother and you have, let's say you have five children. Your eldest child might not be the best one to be in charge. It might be your second, might be your, not your 12-year-old, but maybe your 10-year-old is more mature. So even though the 12-year-old is older, he or she might not be the best prepared to handle that job. So again, you are able in your house to choose who's the babysitter. No one's above you, but the babysitter is someone, is one of the dogs you choose to be in charge, not that he chooses. And if you have a dog who's very dominant or fearful, you are definitely not going to put that dog in charge of anything, because dominant dogs overreact and fearful dogs are unpredictable. So neither of those is really a good choice. So let's say you've got an elderly parent or aunt or uncle or a young child or a special needs child or adult in your house. That person is still above every other dog in that house. So the dog is never allowed to jump up on those people to be dominant or growl or nip or push or poke or block or do any of those things. Now, what's a list of the behaviors we have to be careful not to allow? Humping, jumping, barking, growling, blocking, which is getting between you and somebody else, and bumping. Those are the main behaviors. Now, snarling is, if you think about it, barking is an alert, growling is a warning, and snarling is a threat. I'm going to take you out. So any of those behaviors you have to correct. And if you read my book, Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Canine Behavior 101, you're going to read about that in the section on respect. Because if the dog doesn't respect you and doesn't respect the people around him, then he becomes the leader. And then if he's the leader, you're not. So either you're it or he is. You either own your company or you don't own your company. I own my company. I own actually three companies. So I get to make the rules. They're my techniques. If I need to change something, I make the decision if it changes. You know, in my home, it's my house or my farm. Now, I don't tell people, yes, it's mine and you're going to listen. But it's understood that when a person owns something, it's his to protect or hers to protect. So if you've made the mistake of allowing the dog to think that it owns the bed or it owns a piece of food, or it owns the floor, or it owns anything at all, you have to make sure that you re-educate your dog in a very kind, guiding way, in a mentoring way, that this is not your house, this is my house, and in my house, there are my rules, and in my house, you're not allowed to growl at anybody, you're not allowed to hump anybody, you're not allowed to jump on anybody, you're not allowed to bark, you're not allowed to sit down and block me, you're not allowed to bump me, because it's my house. So if I come into your house and I light up a cigarette, are you going to yell at me and hit me over the head with a baseball bat and say, hey, you moron, you're not allowed to smoke in here, don't you know? No, hopefully you're going to say, hey, excuse me, this is my house. We don't allow that. We don't allow smoking in my house. But it's not that I'm being mean or you're being mean. It's just the rules. And anybody who comes into the house has to follow the same rules. So it's fair. Every single person has to follow the rules in my house. And if they don't, then I will ask them to leave. That's why when we were kids and our parents would get frustrated with us or angry at us, and I was a good kid, but I've heard a lot of my friends, I know, if you don't like it here, you're free to leave. Why can your parents do that? Because it's their house. They paid for it. And if you pay for it and you own it, then you get to make the rules. Well, your dog didn't pay for the bone that he just growled at your three-year-old over. Your dog didn't get his own Visa card and a job and just nip at a toddler who went to pick up a piece of food off the floor that he just dropped. The dog owns nothing. If you have a toddler who starts toddling over, or an elderly parent or a relative who's there, and they toddle over or walk over and step on the dog's bed or bump into the dog, and the dog turns around and bites them or growls at them, you didn't do the right job. You have to fix it. Now, sometimes it's not your fault because you have a rescue dog or a shelter dog, or you didn't realize you were doing it wrong. Don't beat yourself up, folks. Sometimes you just didn't realize. You don't know what you don't know. There's my phrase. I say that all the time. I got to trademark that, but it's so good. You don't know what you don't know. So you go out and you buy a book on obedience or a book by the latest human du jour of training, and you say, wow, this is great, and it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Well, it doesn't work because the dog didn't read the same book. Your dog didn't read the book on obedience training and clickers because your dog does not have opposable thumbs. Doesn't mean clickers and obedience are bad. It just means that is not nature. Your dog does what your dog does because it's a dog. He doesn't have an opposable thumb. They don't have boxes of milk bones that the pack leader throws cookies to everybody for going potty outside. Dogs do what they do because they're dogs. And in the last segment today, I'm going to give you some awesome training tips. Not obedience, but over-the-top behavioral tips. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. All-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit biketoeleash.com. That's biketoeleash.com. BikeToLeash.com. Bike tow leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToWLeash.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And I want to give a shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph and Pam Kavaleski, Cindy L., and some of the amazing people who are in our United Canine Professionals team, including Jill, Kathy, Karen, the other Karen, Laren. We've got so many people, Luis, Gary. We've got, like, literally 167 or 169 now of the most incredible people you've ever met in your life. We have former prosecutors. We have a dentist. We have veterinarians who have studied with me to learn my techniques. We have veterinary students. We have professionals. We have businessmen. Most of the people, actually all but I think the kids who are still not through college, either have a BA or BS in some form of wonderful education from a university. Many have masters. We even have PhDs on board, and I'm going to join that PhD rank soon because I'm still studying and working on my project for that. But, you know, we have a very well-educated team. We have an amazing team of people who really cares about dogs and cares about humans. So if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, call our 800 number. If you have a rescue dog who needs help, if you have a dog you bought, if you have a designer puppy that's not quite as behaviorally cute as he is physically cute, or a dog with any kind of physical issues or behavior problems, call 855-4K9PROS. That's 855-4, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, 4K9PROS, P-R-O-S, or you can get us at 855-HI-WYATT. And, you know, we'll help you. We'll help you out for free if you belong to a shelter or a rescue group. If you, you know, just need help, if you want to join our team and become a behaviorist, or if you want to get help for a shelter or rescue, you're a Girl Scout troop leader, or you're, you know, involved in anything with fundraising, help us to help more dogs, rescue more dogs, rehabilitate them, and then train them to become free service dogs for kids with autism and other special needs, all free of charge, PTSD, and so many other things. The problem is we have so many people on our list. We've got close to 200 people on our list right now waiting for dogs. So if we have a way of fundraising to get money to cover our costs, which are somewhere between $8,000 and $15,000, depending on where the dog is, where the humans are, how much training the dog needs, physical condition, things like that, if we can only do 40 or 50 dogs a year because it costs us so much money to do that, if you can help us fundraise, even if you have a corporation that you work for, if you have an office, a school, like a graduating class, help us. Help Merlin's kids. We're a 501c3. We've been around forever. And if you can help us to save more dogs by fundraising to help us to provide a dog for someone who can't afford it, then please let us know, and we would be happy to help you with the fundraising. So it's very important for everybody to remember that dogs are dogs, and dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. So if you have, let's say, a dog with a behavioral issue, and you're trying to fix them, and we were joking about it, about clickers and shock collars and choker chains and cookies and everything, it's not that there's any one method that's bad except for shock collars and prong collars and choker chains and mean things, but anything that does fix a dog or help a dog, I'm all for it because, you know, about 80 to 85% of all dogs in my experience, and I've fixed more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues, probably about 80 to 85% of all dogs who have a behavioral issue, a lot of them can be helped with obedience or clickers or things like that, not anything shock collars. I can't stand those. I don't care what you call them. You know, you think it doesn't hurt the dog, put it around your own throat, put it around your private parts, you guys, and you tell me it doesn't hurt. You give me the little thing, let me turn it up and zap you, and you tell me if it hurts or not. But if you're doing obedience or clickers or anything like that, and if it helps the dog, then it wasn't a behavioral issue. It was a training issue. There are a lot of training issues that great people who are great at obedience can help you with. But if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, and like for me, I only handle behavioral issues. If you call me and you've got the best dog in the world and you want to train him to sit and lie down, I don't do that. Can I? Of course I can. That's nothing. It's super easy. Do I train service dogs? Yes, I do, but I do it through behavioral techniques. I do not give them cookies or clickers or anything like that. I don't do that. I'm a behaviorist. I deal with things in the brain. And it's the same thing if you have a dog who's got a behavioral issue, and every time he does something, let's say the dog is growling, and you click, and the dog looks at you, and now you give him a cookie. You think you're training the dog to look at you and to look away from the thing he's growling at. But you're not. You're actually rewarding the gaze. There's about a three-second time. So if the dog is doing something, let's say like you catch your boyfriend looking at another girl. If you wait an hour to elbow him, he's going to have no idea why you just elbowed him in the gut. If he's looking at a girl and you don't want him to do that, and not that I'm advocating you elbowing your significant other, but if you elbow him within 3 seconds of when he did it, he's going to go, "What? I wasn't looking at anything," because he knows what he did wrong. But if you wait, even if you waited a minute or two and now he's not looking at it, or the dog isn't doing that behavior anymore, now you correct it or reward it, the dog or the man is just, he's way past that. So you have to, a lot of these corrections you're making, it's not that you're doing them wrong, it's that your timing is off. So sometimes people will want to watch TV and they're like, "Oh, look at, let me do this or that." Well, it's not working for my dog. Well, first of all, you don't know what you're doing, probably. And second of all, even if you think you know what you're doing, think is much different than know. To think something means you believe it. To know something means it is a fact. It's the difference between subjective and objective case. Subjective means you think it. Objective means you know it. It's a fact. So when you're trying to do something, and let's say the dog jumps and you turn your back, which is a very common thing a lot of the obedience people do. So let's say the dog jumps up, you turn your back on the dog, and you say, "Ha, look, now he didn't get what he wanted. He wanted my attention." No, think like a dog for a minute. Now you're going to love this. Imagine you're a 50-pound mixed breed dog, and you decide you're going to train humans. So what do? You say to yourself, "I'm going to train this human to turn around on demand." Now, watch this. All you have to do is pretend like you're going to jump up on them, and they turn around. They're very trainable. Humans are extremely trainable. So I pretend I'm jumping up, and the human turns around, and he does a good job. Now, if I want to get a cookie, all I have to do and train the human to give me a cookie is I have to poke him, and he'll either pet me, or if I poke him a few times and whine for a while and sit over by the cabinet, this stupid human, he'll learn what I want, and he'll give me my cookie. So really what we are doing is we are allowing the dogs, who are smarter than we are sometimes, to train us. We're just going to switch it around. That's where behavior comes in. You can train a dog to do anything. We have a Broadway trainer who is one of the best in the country who trains dogs for Broadway. But you know what? When a piece of a scenery falls down or something and the dog is scared and stops working, well, now you need a behaviorist. Behavior is behavior, and obedience is obedience. And what I hope everyone's going to do today is go out and get a copy of my book. You can upload it or download it or sideload it or whatever, reload it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get the free Kindle software, and then you can actually buy a copy of my book. It's less than $10. The hard copy will be obviously more, but it's like less than $10. You can have the book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Canine Behavior 101, and you will learn what dogs think. It's so fun. It's a great read. Everybody loves it. If you're a scientifically based brain thinker, you're going to love all the cool stuff about the behavior, about the biological reasons, psychological reasons, behavioral reasons, chemical reasons that dogs do what they do, and it's going to help you to be a better dog parent. Well, I can't believe it, but of course it's time to go. Thank you so much for sharing time with us, And if you'd like to join our team, check out our websites, www.unitedk9professionals.com or www.merlinskids.org. And please have a wonderful, healthy, happy week. Enjoy your time and see you next week.